April 5th. That is the last time the Toronto Blue Jays have scored more than 6 runs. And last night, old man Turner had enough. He said, if I have to drag 6 runs across the home plate by myself, it's happening. Jays win 6-5 over the Royals. And buddy, finally, some runs happened on Danny Jansen giveaway night. And buddy, the glasses were working, man. Davis Schneider with some hits. Danny Jansen with some hits. Love to see it. Screw bloodlines. Give me goggles, right? Hello and welcome to the mailbag here on The Walk-Off. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. And buddy, we have lots of interaction to get to today. We comb through everybody's comments and questions every single week. And just like every other week, there were a pile of them to get to. So apologies if we don't get to your comment or question. This is what you need to do. You just need to keep trying, because I do try and switch up as many of the people getting comments and questions on the show as possible. At Walk Off Podcast on Twitter, The Walk Off Podcast on Instagram. You can always get that automatic comment on if you are a member of our Patreon. We call it the Patreon bump. As soon as you are paying that $4 a month, not only do you get MLB Mondays, extra content, not only do you get instant access to our interviews. We actually just sat down with the new knuckleballer in the Blue Jays organization, Jordan Powell, just last night. And then this morning with AAA outfielder Will Robertson, he came back on the podcast. He sat down with us back in 2021, right after the COVID season. And man, has his stats, has his development ever progressed? He is one of those guys that is on the verge of getting called up if there's any bad tacos in this outfield. He has a better OPS currently in AAA than Aroldis Martinez. So Will Robertson and Jordan Powell, both those interviews available to everyone on Patreon right now. Of course, we're going to look after you folks, the public folks as well. We're going to get those out sometime in the next week or two. But again, if you just need those interviews, that content right now, instant access on Patreon. You also have access to the Discord. And like I said, that Patreon bump on Mailbag. And on that note, should I let you talk now, Adam? Is it finally time for you to contribute here? You're on mute.
Well, there we go. That's why you don't let me talk. I'm muted anyways. So you're carrying the weight because you have to. First comment from Mailbag is actually glasses related, so let's just get right to it. Derek D commented yesterday on YouTube and said, I wonder if Vladdy needs glasses. Seriously, it could be as simple as that. Maybe he's just unwilling to get tested.
He thinks it would make him look lame.
It would make him look lame. Yeah, get them onion cutters on out there. Yeah, this just made me laugh. I don't think that's it, but it would be hilarious if that was the fix.
If the fix is just Ricky Vaughn from Major League, it's just like, bro, put some goggles on.
Solved.
David Schneider and Danny Jansen look great in glasses. And I
sure
think
do.
You're
so
right,
though.
So do
you, buddy. So do you.
Oh, you. Come on. The beard and the glasses help me cover up my face. It's really benefiting me.
You're really thriving during the pandemic, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right. The more my face is covered, the better everybody is on board with me. Vladdy, on the other hand, I don't know how he would look in glasses.
Someone in the Discord needs to Photoshop that for us.
Yeah, we need a Photoshop of Vladdy with glasses and him pushing them up.
Just full Urkel. Suspenders too. Put suspenders on them while you're at it. All right. Wyatt sent us this on the Patreon yesterday. Hey, fellas, for Monday's mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon, just wanted to start off by saying, so happy Long Toss is back. Got a lot of comments on the pleasure that Long Toss is back. It really is my favorite part of the walk-off, and I hope Garth decides to come back. My question is on the topic of trading Bo and Vlad if no extensions are possible. Why does everyone assume we would get a haul back for Vladdy and the same for Bo when it's been 3 years removed since Vladdy has been an MVP caliber and we never seem to say anything positive about him, only that he's not the player we thought he was. It was only 1 year removed from Manoah being a Cy Young candidate and we would have not been able to get anything for him. So
let's start with Bo, shall we?
Okay.
Take a look at the free agent class for shortstops in 2025 when he is available. And let's take a look at his numbers over the last few years. So Bo Bichette is in the midst of literally his biggest slump of his career. This happens. This happens to literally every single player that plays Major League Baseball. You always have a low point. And you know what? We don't know exactly what is going on, but I think that a lot of it has to do with everyone else being so cold at the plate as well. This is a guy who is the offensive engine to this team when he is rolling. It's why he hits in that 2 and 3 hole nonstop. You look at his 2023 numbers, career numbers. He didn't lead the league in hits for the first time in 3 years, and that's because he missed 15 games last year. That's another thing that doesn't get talked about with Bo Bichette is his durability. Back in 2021, I don't know the exact number, but I think he played about 159 games, 158 games, something like that, close to 160 the year after that as well. He misses minimal time. You can just put his name in the lineup at shortstop and forget about it. That is a huge value, especially when you look around the league at some guys who struggle to stay on the field. So durable, leads the league in hits 2 years in a row. The year he doesn't, he still has a career season with a batting average well over 300. I think he was just under 310 last season. Then take a look at what is available on the free agent market by the time that he's ready for free agency, which is at the end of next season.
So free agent class 2026 at shortstop, Bo Bichette, 28 years old at that point. Tommy Edman at 31, Trevor Story at 33, IKF at 31, Ha-Seong Kim at 31, Kyle Farmer, 36, Miguel Rojas, 38. Orlando Arcia, 32. So it's a pretty shallow and older
options. Pool of free agents. And I mean, there is an argument there that maybe Ha-Seong Kim is in the same vicinity as Bo Bichette, but I think it's pretty safe to argue Bo is probably the most sought after free agent in that shortstop class. In fact, I would even argue that it's possible he is far above everybody else in that class. And on top of that, his age stands out. 28 years old. That is where most players peak. We have watched Bo's consistency over his playing career. And this is where a lot of people are concerned about this slump of his. I know there's even probably another question in mailbag about that. But I tend to, by the time a guy gets to 26, 27 years of age and has played as much baseball as Bo Bichette has played, which is almost 5 full seasons, I like to turn the baseball card over and see what those career numbers are. And believe me, Bo Bichette's career numbers are far better than the last month of the season has been. We started this talk with talking about this is the biggest slump Bo's ever been in his career. Am I worried about it? Yeah, I'm worried for the Blue Jays, but I'm not worried for Bo Bichette. Bo Bichette is going to find it. Now, the sooner he finds it, the better for this team, because like I said, when it comes to this offense, he is a major cog in how this whole lineup operates.
Mm-hmm.
He's been ice cold with runners in scoring position. He's been ice cold at the plate in general. But things are going to turn. Baseball is all about hot and cold streaks. For everyone talking to that, Justin Turner, Jose Barrios, and Yusei Kikuchi are going to regress. The same is going to happen with Bo, but in a positive fashion. And I think he's at least a $200 million man by the time he's a free agent. I wouldn't even be shocked if he puts up big numbers this year and next year if he lands a 10-year, $300 million, or at least a Xander Bogaerts. Like, would you rather have Xander Bogaerts or Bo Bichette? Xander Bogaerts was paid 10 years, $289 million at 31 years old. Bo is 3 years younger and arguably a better defensive shortstop, which is a crazy thing to say, but Bo has been more or less an average shortstop over the last year and a month. I know he's had a couple bonehead plays this year, but in his defense, there's been quite a few players on this team who have had a few bonehead moves in this first month of the season. I guess what I'm getting at is when you add all that up, Bo Bichette is going to get a haul. If you trade him in the offseason, number one, 1 year Bo Bichette is going to improve any contending team in a huge way. Number two, Bo Bichette very well just may not want to sign in Toronto. So if that's the case, and maybe there's another team who can convince him that, you know, like, Ha-Sung Kim is going to be a free agent at the same time as Bo Bichette. Imagine San Diego decides, you know what? Maybe we want Bo here instead. Ha-Sung Kim plays all over the infield, so you can go get Bo for 1 year and then make your decision after that. Go from there. There's lots of teams, is what I'm saying, that would want Bo Bichette and would give up major prospects to get him. Now let's get to the more complicated subject of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And Wyatt, I think, is hitting the nail on the head a little bit here with, can we get a haul for him? I don't think a haul is possible, but there's no way there isn't a team prepared to give up some fairly major pieces to have a shot at Vladimir Guerrero Jr. being in their lineup and seeing some of those highlights from 2021, even 2022. Anything to add here, Adam?
It's just all, like, for me, what it comes down to, because I'm a fan of Bo and Vlad, and B, and now fully advocating that we need to trade them. That's a tough spot to be in. But what it all comes down to is a haul is relative, right? Like,
yes,
relative to a compensatory draft pick when they leave, yes, in free agency. That's, yes, all I'm saying, right? Is that, like, November 1st, we make our best offer. We go, here's the money we're willing to pay you. Do you want it? Sure. Sign on the dot. If not, we're trading you tomorrow. Or the trade, you know, the trade talks, yeah, begin and you're gone by the end of the week. You know, start listing your home. I'm not a fucking baseball insider. I'm barely a podcaster, it feels like some days. I don't know what the fucking market value is on Vladimir Guerrero Jr., like what the appetite is from 29 other teams. Does he have value? Yeah, absolutely he does. Whether that's three top 10 prospects or five top 20 prospects or two and a guy who's playing in the major league level already, I don't know. Yeah. Whatever it is, it's more than a second round draft pick we're going to get in 2026. So that's all I'm saying when I say, let's go out and get our haul right now. Sure, maybe it's not Juan Soto return levels of whatever. That's fine. I don't care. Let's restock the cupboards. We can all agree we're going to get more via trade than a compensatory draft pick. And I think that's
the responsible thing for this front office to do if they're not going to sign.
Yeah.
And Adam, would you agree with my assessment that Bo is going to get a haul?
I think so. I think it's, yeah, he's at a premium position is the thing.
Yeah.
Too, right? Like being at a short, like there's teams need shortstops. You know, there's not a lot of,
especially with how much he has improved defensively at the position. Yeah. Again, he grades out at right around average, but he was such a liability even 18 months ago, right? So,
and there's also like the hubris of major league executives to think they know they the recipe fix to anybody. Fix a guy.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I've seen what Cody Bellinger can do. Oh, I've seen what Christian Yelich can do. I just need to get in his ear and take this, you know, and shine it back up. And now we've got a, you know, like raw talent at that level.
Mm-hmm.
Even Alek Manoah. Right. Like, yeah. if you've ever achieved the heights that a player like that has achieved, like there's value there, right? Like there's risk for sure,
mm-hmm.
but there's value. And
I mean, look at Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey is a prime example. How many teams took a flyer on Matt Harvey before they finally gave up on him? Like literally teams were trying Matt Harvey out 5 years after his peak. Mm-hmm. So are teams going to give a haul for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Maybe not in the sense that everyone is viewing it, which is like a Juan Soto type haul, but are they going to get some good baseball players and some valuable prospects back? Absolutely. They would.
No, I also,
I hope honestly, I'll be honest. I'm a huge Bo and Vlad guy. I would love to see them just find it. I mean, but I'm not worried about Bo. I would love to see Vlad find it again and at least be that 30 home run, 100 RBI, sure. 300 to, you know, 290 yep. to 300 batting average dude. And if that's the case, frick, sign him for what he's worth. Don't sign him for more than he's worth, but sign him for what he's worth. I'm fine with that.
I went on theathletic.com and found an article revisiting the 11 biggest offseason trades of the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like Chris Sale, Stanton, Garrett Cole, Real Muto, Mookie Betts, Blake Snell, Lindor, Arenado, all these trades. And then in hindsight, they evaluate, you know, who won the trade. And more often than not, the team that gets the superstar won the trade.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not often that you say goodbye to Mookie Betts, and then you're so thrilled with the prospects that came back that you're like, oh, yeah. More often than not, you get fleeced. This is my only, like, uncomfortableness yeah, with this whole thing is, like, we're going to probably see them
That's
flourish
what prospects are.
Wherever they go to, and we have to be okay mm-hmm. with that. But, like, again, then you just remember, oh, yeah, well, they were probably, like, we're operating under the understanding that
assumption.
They were going to leave anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, whether we trade Bo Bichette to the Dodgers or whether we keep him for the next year and a half and then he goes and signs with the Dodgers, either way, he's going to flourish with the Dodgers, and that's going to be a pill to swallow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where any of this makes me feel any better other than to say,
yeah,
it's better than losing them in free agency. And we're not close is the like to being a World Series contender. This would be a way different conversation. If Bo Bichette came out today and was like, I'm not re-signing in Toronto. I love it here or whatever, but like, 2026. I want to go to free agency, and I'm just going to the highest bidder. It's business, baby.
If it's Toronto, great, but I'm sure. not going to give any sort of hometown discount or negotiate before I'm a free agent.
Or even if he said something like a dirtbag and was like, I hate it here. The fans are the worst part of Toronto. I want to go to San Diego, and I'm going there in a year and a half. But we were close. Like if we were a team that was a serious threat to make a run, I would say, yeah, hold on to him. Mm-hmm. Like he still has to play here for the next two seasons. While he's here, we have two realistic shots at a World Series. Like we're knocking at the door and we're close. But that's not the case.
Yeah, you need a lot to go right to pull off an Arizona Diamondbacks.
Right. Get a ticket to the dance and anything can happen, right? We say that mm-hmm. all the time. But that's not the same situation of, okay, well, let's hold on to our guys while we've got control and make the most of these next 2 years. It's just like, ugh, it's pretty risky. So,
yeah,
That's where I'm at. I don't like it, but I am a Bo fan. I am a Vlad fan, but more than that, I'm a Jays fan, and that's the tough spot to be. So there you go. Janine on Twitter reached out and said, "Hey guys, absolutely loved Long Toss on Sunday. So glad we're all doing this show again. It's my favorite. I know you all talked the catching position and what losing Marino could mean. Is there some toxic positivity you could put on our current catching duel?"
So first off, Janine, we loved having Long Toss back as well. It was fun. It actually felt really nice after I felt pent up. And after that 2-hour show, I felt like there was a lot of stuff that had come off my chest. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling a little bit better about the team and even just the idea of where this team could be in a few years. So, it was nice to be back. As for the catching position, you start to look into it. And of course, there's some positive stuff with the catching duel that we have going on. Let's start with Alejandro Kirk. Okay, Kirky, Silver Slugger in 2022. Was that his peak? I think it was. I'd love to eat those words, but I do think the 2022 was Alejandro Kirk's peak. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't still have some big-time value there. So this is the first six games of the season. These are Alejandro Kirk's number. Batting average of 95, on-base percent of 130, slug of 95, zero extra base hits, a 4.3 walk percentage, 22% strikeout rate, and a WRC plus of negative 33 in 23 plate appearances. Small sample size, but it was ugly. Since April 5th, he has hit .262 with an on-base percentage of .373, a slug of .357. He's got a dinger. He's got two extra base hits, a walk percentage of 16%, strikeout of just under 10, a WRC plus of 120 in 51 plate appearances. So Kirky is coming out of the slump he started the season in. You're starting to see some life out of the bat that he has, and that's a big deal. In Major League Baseball, if you can get production out of your catcher, you're ahead of the game because it's a position where the most part, if you're just happy with the defense, and that is one thing that Alejandro Kirk does very well. He's great at framing, and he's even better at blocking. We will get into some blocking stats here in a minute. This was pulled from a thread Chris Black did at Down to Black on Twitter. Definitely check out Chris Black if you are a fan of stats and the Blue Jays, because this guy's threads are incredible. So I did rob a couple of his stats here. This is Jays catchers. The team is 21-7 when Kirk homers. They're 44-17 when Jansen homers. They're 82-42 when Kirk reaches twice. And they're 74-44 when Jansen reaches twice. So the team does very well while these guys are hot. Jansen came back from injury. He has been looking really good. He's been looking so good that when you look at a list of the weighted runs created plus leaders over the last 14 days, Dalton Varsho leads the way at 203. Danny Jansen second, 185, and then it jumps down to Ernie Clement at 134, Kevin Kiermaier 128, and Davis Schneider 124. So Danny Jansen pushing a 200 weighted runs created plus in the short time that he's been back. He's hit a couple dingers. He's hit some doubles. We're seeing that extra base power and the opposite pull power that Jansen has. That is all great news, all right? When you look at the blocking stats, and this is what really was kind of eye-popping to me, and again, this is all from Chris Black's Down to Black, okay? So the Blue Jays, and this is block opportunities. So in 29,500 block opportunities, the Blue Jays, 85 blocks above average. The next closest team within the same vicinity of block opportunities is the Pirates with 54. Giant gap. So defensively, this duel is fantastic. Basically, what we're just hoping is that Alejandro Kirk continues to hit like he has since April 5th, that Danny Jansen can stay healthy and continue to contribute when it comes to doubles and powers from the pull side. That's all good stuff. And this duo is above average around the league if they can get out of the slump that they started the season in, which it seems like they have done. So if Kirky can continue to hit around that 260, a little bit of extra base power, not hitting it into so many double plays. That's the one thing that drives me crazy about Alejandro Kirk is sometimes, you know, when the chips are down, he doesn't have much running speed. So you're like, oh no, runners on first and second and Kirk at the plate. But they're above average catching duo. And there's your toxic positivity.
I love Danny Jansen's hitting ability.
Me too, man.
That's my toxic positivity for the catching situation.
It's true, man. Honestly,
if he can just stay healthy,
if he can just stay healthy. And you know what? He's been in the league now since 2018. Like he's a veteran presence at this point. He's in the prime of his career, 28 years old. He's starting to finally wear the armor on his hand after breaking his hand. What was it? Half a dozen times,
yeah,
you know?
Something like, stupid.
He was like six strikes and finally I've learned my lesson.
Yeah. All right, Janine. Tune out now. Because here's my other question for the catching situation. The blocked, like, blocking stats?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a metric that evaluates, like, ability to block, like, prevent, like, you're preventing a pass ball, right? Which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But how does that measure out against Alejandro Kirk's terrible like pop time and ability to throw a guy out? Like if a guy can just take second, whether there's a pass ball or not, did it really matter? You know, like that's a, again, I'm just like,
it is. No, you're right. The
love for Kirk defensively. I mean, we talked it so much on Long Toss about how, man, he can really frame those low pitches. But again, like next year, that's not going to matter. Or 2 years, whenever the automated strike zone comes in, that skill, irrelevant. And it's coming quick. And then blocking pass balls when guys are just running anyways, it's like, well, who cares? That's kind of where I'm at. Like, is that too negative? Is that unfair?
No, I think that's a fair criticism, and
I'm not a Kirk guy anymore. I think I'm all the way out on Kirk. I'm going to take some flack for that. I love Danny Jansen. I wish he was healthy, and I wish he was behind the plate 130 to 140 times a year. I'm out on Kirk. I'm sorry.
When you look at what the league has done to encourage stolen bases, and the new rules that they have put in place with the bigger bases, it has been pretty apparent that both Jano and Kirk have some work to do on preventing these runners. Is this something within their skill set to pull off? Can they improve and make it less appealing for teams to constantly test the arm? I mean, hopefully. Lord knows Gabriel Moreno has a rocket, which is something everyone keeps bringing up. I don't know. It is definitely detrimental to the team how free and easy everyone on first base seems to be to try and take second base. It has been something that's been happening a lot. I really don't have any positive spin to put on that other than obviously they are aware of this. I guarantee this is something they're working on. Fingers crossed, we see progress in that area.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Next one is a comment on our Friday show on Patreon. Nope. This is MLB Mondays. This is yesterday's show. Deb commented. Now, Deb comments these types of comments all the time, and it always makes me smile because I don't know what she's talking about, but she'll quote something you or I said.
Yeah.
And I don't remember which one of us said it or what the context was, but this one was spectrum of sanity, period. Genius with 2 exclamation points. You guys never disappoint. Clap emoji. I don't know if you said it or if I said it or what we were talking about, but spectrum of sanity. That's a good one.
I think I said it when we were describing the variance of opinions on long toss. And I was like, you know, it's nice to have all these different opinions within the spectrum of sanity, right? Like,
there you go. All right. I like it. That one, I got to remember that one because that one's up there with toxic positivity, in my opinion.
And I like hearing that. We never disappoint. Someone tell our wives, please.
Yes, please. Terry Grover on Twitter says, hey, gents, I wasn't worried about Bichette at first, but I'm starting to be really concerned. Do you think this is the real Bo? I don't. I think
no, me neither.
We've seen way too big of a sample size on Bo Bichette.
This is Bo Bichette, yeah.
I know exactly what he is. He's 20 errors and a 300 batting average. That's Bo Bichette.
Yeah.
Anything else on the other side of that is like, all right, well.
It's an anomaly.
It's a weird week.
And we already touched on this. We did touch on this. Bo is just in the biggest slump of his career. This happens in baseball. Is he going to pull out of it right away? Hopefully he does. You know what? They sat him yesterday, and man, everyone was acting like he was benched, and I truly don't believe that was the case. I think it was far more likely that the coaching staff went to him and was like, listen, buddy, just take a day. I know he didn't even do batting practice.
This is semantics, though, to say that that's not a benching. Telling her to take a seat. Where? On the bench. Come on.
Okay. Okay. I just don't. I didn't view it as
like punishment.
As punishment.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. I'll give you that distinction. I still think it's a benching, but.
You know what? And I will say that, but I just don't think it was a disciplinary benching where they're like, we need more out of you and we need you to think about what you've done. In fact, I think it was the opposite of like, listen, bro, we're going to get it together. You're a big part of this team, but you don't have to have the whole thing on your shoulders. Take a day. Mm-hmm. Again, he wasn't in the cages. So they obviously were like, you're not doing anything baseball wise. You're putting your uniform on and you're just going to go and chill in the dugout with the boys.
You're basically Alec Manoa today.
You're basically Alec Manoa, except you don't need to go to Buffalo. Yeah. and hopefully stuff like that. You never know when a guy is going to break out of a slump. I know that some people are always like, one game isn't going to change anything, but hot and cold streaks start with one game all the time. So yeah,
absolutely. Johnny Eaton quoted Joel on Long Toss. It says, quote of the day, we got the renovations done. What do we need these guys for? Joel, famously not pro Atkins and pro Shapiro.
Yeah, it was,
he's the reverse Craig Ballard.
Yes. There was a lot of shit talk of Atkins on Long Toss for sure. And I mean, Craig still has Atkins back. That's what we were talking about with the spectrum of sanity, right? Like there was everything from, listen, Atkins should probably be given the opportunity to rebuild a second time, if that's the case, to fire him into the sun. So that's kind of the spectrum of sanity.
I mean, again, it's the F. Trudeau of it all, right? Is like, you can be displeased with Atkins and also acknowledge that, like, he's made a few good moves.
Yeah.
You know? And to, like, also honestly, root for him to make a few more while he's here.
Yeah.
Is kind of absolutely where I'm at.
Like, I'm at.
If he's
I'm at
the guy, too. I hope all he does is good stuff that makes Joel eat crow.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, we've said this before, right? Like, I felt like Atkins, his tenure came to an end after last season. I truly did feel that way, that it was time for a change. And they decided that that wasn't the case. And so now, like Adam just said, fingers crossed he makes a few more good moves and this ship can be righted. We're sitting at 15-15, a 500 team. Last day of April is today. So if we can end April one game above 500 with the way that this team's offense has performed, and even their pitching hasn't been as lights out as
Gausman
we saw last year.
Turning it around. Yep.
Yeah. So Gausman definitely finally turning it around. So that's good to see. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, what do you say? We're stuck with Atkins until we're not. So,
yep. Tallboy Speaks messaged us on YouTube and said, how does it look to the other guys on the Bisons when Alec just leaves? When some guys get to the show, how will they feel about Manoah just leaving them?
I don't know how to answer that. And that was a subject that we kind of touched on Long Toss, where we were questioning that. What is it? What are the guys on the Toronto bench thinking as he's coming up and down? And I know that they're, you know, like, we don't know anything. That's the big thing with this situation. So it's all speculative. And obviously, Pete Walker is working with Manoah in side sessions and stuff like that and trying to get him right. So obviously, him coming back to Toronto is good for that. What do the guys in Buffalo think as he has continued to be treated like a member of this Toronto Blue Jays team? When, I mean, you look at the lineup and you're like, is he? How? Where? Why?
Yeah.
But again, Adam touched on this earlier in the episode. Once you show that you can be an elite talent at this level, even if you fall off a cliff afterwards, I mean, 162 games is no small sample size. Coming up being runner up to winning the Cy Young is, you know, it's no small feat.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep saying this too, Adam. Prove it, Alec. Go to Buffalo and prove it. Force the hand. I would love nothing better, and I think most Blue Jays fans feel the same way, than a redemption story from Alec Manoah. But it just feels like we're a long ways away from that right now. He still has to get to the point where his control is under control. The people are listening to us for the vocabulary we're using, for sure. He's... Go ahead.
I was just going to say that reminds me of the Michael Scott quote when he goes, oh, how the turntables have turned.
Yeah, exactly. But no, he does need to show that he can hit his spot with his pitches more frequently. He had a pretty good outing in Buffalo 2 outings ago, going a little over 5 innings, not walking anybody, giving up a few hits. And then last time out, it did not look pretty. He only got through about 2. He walked 5, gave up 6 hits. It was not pretty. So I would love to see some consistency out of Alec Manoah before he's just given a rotation spot back, especially with the way Yariel Rodriguez has looked with another decent outing last night. And even though his numbers last night weren't great, he was dealt some shitty hands, you know, a couple of balls dropped in where they shouldn't have, a couple of errors happened, a couple of runs scored that probably weren't really on him. But the team scored 6, so who cares? Team
scored 6, so who cares? There you go. Put that on a t-shirt. All right, we'll end with this, some talk about the Discord. Mish on Patreon commented, the Discord is a fucking hoot. I can't believe I didn't jump on it until after the season last year. And always lots of fun going on in the Discord.
Yeah.
Ian went to the game yesterday with his son. And this is what he posted in the Discord after. He said, I know many members of the Discord don't live close enough to make it to many games and miss out on most of the great giveaways. Last night's was awesome. I have one Jansen jersey and pair of glasses I'm willing to send to one lucky Discord member completely free, in brackets, just as it came to me. Leave a thumbs up on this post and I'll draw one of the names later tonight. So, very cool.
So if you're after that Danny Jansen package, join Discord.
Very cool.
Especially if you're already a part of Patreon. It's funny, Mish brought that up, and she's been a member of the Patreon for some time now. And there's been lots of Patreon members that just haven't jumped into the Discord. If that is something you would like to do, hit us up. We'll send you the link, and away you go. Should be a good time for you. And if you're on the fence as to whether you'd like to join the Patreon, let me tell you, there are people in our Discord that literally are paying the $4 a month just to be a member of that community. It's happening constantly, and it's not Twitter, folks. There is the utmost respect being showed in Discord. It warms my heart.
When it was public,
Yeah.
There was a little bit of some darkness in there, but we've weeded out the riffraff and it's just good folks left. So there you go. That's it. That's mailbag. Short one today, but
thank you to everyone who commented, put a question in. Follows along. We really appreciate you, the grounds crew. A few things to look forward to. Jordan Powell and Will Robertson interviews are in the books. We had a little bit of technical difficulties with Will, so it's a shorter interview, around 25 minutes, but he did guarantee that next month he'll come back and we'll do a full-on rundown of where he's at. Who knows? He's on the verge of a call-up. Fingers crossed. There are no bad tacos, but if there are in the outfield, he's probably the next guy up. So Will Robertson, keep an eye out for him. And then finally, we're super excited to have May 6th joining us, the leader in consecutive saves in Major League Baseball history. One of only two Canadians to ever win a Cy Young Award and the last reliever to win a Cy Young and maybe the last ever. For that matter, Eric Gagne is going to be joining us, and we're very excited to have very that. Cool. Feel free to shoot us any questions you may have for Eric. We'd love to have a bunch of listener questions ready for him to go. He's sitting down with us for a full hour, so we should be able to fit in at least half a dozen of your questions. So again, hit us up at Walk Off Podcast.
If he doesn't have a goatee, I'm going to be so pissed.
I think he's clean shaven now.
He's got six days to grow it out.
Get ready to get angry. Right. Okay, a Walk Off Podcast on Twitter to reach out. The Walk Off Podcast on Instagram. Or if you're already a member of the Patreon, obviously shoot us a message and we will make sure that we get your questions to Mr. Gagne. Thanks again to all of you. We really do appreciate it. We will see you all Friday. Take care.
Cheers.